Blog Talk Radio.
Got to know that's your portion, man. You got to know what your portion is. Everything he declared and decreed that's yours is yours. Don't let the enemy steal anything else. God have given you a portion, and that portion is goodness, health, strength. Our portion is what God give us, and that's his word. Things pertaining to life and godliness. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are just real delighted to have each and every one of you all. We're going to get started with a word of prayer. We're going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. And Pastor, thank you for that song. That's your portion, and your portion is good news. Amen. This I'd like to share is coming from Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we're thanking you, Father God, for another opportunity that we can come together and learn more about your word and learn how to apply the word of God to our lives. We thank you for our pastor as he teaches this word. Use him mightily, Father God. Holy Ghost, have your way in his life as he teaches this word, Father God. And then help us to receive it. Help us to receive the word of God in the lining of our hearts. Let us meditate on this word day and night. Be with all those that have asked us to keep them lifted up in prayer, Father God. Be with those that are sick and shut in. Be with those who are bereaved and those who are going through, Father God. For you are a way maker out of no way. And the scripture tells us by your stripes we are healed. And Father God, we're thanking you that you will keep us in perfect peace as long as our mind is stayed on you. So Father God, continue to bless each and every one of us as we open our hearts and our mind to the word, even those that are listening by internet, Father God. And then, Lord, we bind up anything and everything to try to come up against us that's not of the word of God, not of the spirit of God. Lord, just help us all to be on one accord as we receive the word of God today. And not only today, but every day. And we ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We're talking about God have called us. And meaning God have chosen us. When I talked about calling us, he's talking about he's making a choice. But a lot of people are called, but out of that calling, he chooses a few. Mm-hmm. And let me take my time and say this. It's a few of us that preferred that he had chose us before the foundation of the world. But I don't want anybody to miss what's going on here. God chose you. You've been chosen.
Okay.
Big difference, yeah. Man. Just like you have choices, God have choices. Remember the Lord said, I think it was Joshua who said, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you. So you got a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods with the little g, which your father served, they were on the other side of the flood, or the gods, little g, the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But he said, now for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Y'all can do y'all thing. Y'all can serve them idol gods. But if you have a choice, brothers and sisters, I can't make it no plainer than that. You have a choice. You can either choose to be part of what God have chosen you to be, or you can be part of your forefathers. You can be part of the Amorites and the Amorites and the gods on the other side of the flood. Yeah. Just like you have a choice, God chose us.
Mm.
Now you have to answer to that call. Remember the Bible said, but you are a chosen generation. That means you were chosen. You was handpicked. You're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. You got to hear that in your spirit. And then you agree Okay, Lord, since I've been chosen, let me answer the call. That's what that's really saying. We have to answer the call, brothers and sisters. So over in Ephesians 4, well, actually, we was in, we're going to do Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and 4. And we also, we're going to go back to Matthew's because I asked you guys to read that on yesterday. And we want to, we would love to discuss it a little bit today. So if you will, in Ephesians 4 and 4, it reads like this. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling.
Amen. From the Message Bible, Ephesians 4 and 4. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Amen.
Yeah. So we all have been called. Many have been called, but a few are chosen. No, there's a calling on your life, but also remember there is a few of those that have been called except that.
All right.
And in Matthew's 22, I think it was, at Matthew's 22 and 14. I don't know how much of that we read yesterday, but we're going to jump into that. This is one of what I call the supporting scriptures. And the 14th verse read like this. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Okay, Matthew 22:14 from the Message Bible. That's what I mean when I say many get invited, only a few make it. Amen.
Yeah. See, God done called all these people that talk about, you know, the Lord told me, yeah, God called you, but now God is going to handpick a few. He is going to actually choose, according to this word now, he's going to choose a few. There's a difference between being called and being chosen.
All right. Amen.
And you want to be one of those few. Those few is, he gives a story here about a wedding. And I shared part of that with you yesterday, but I feel the need to share a little bit more. Now, what goes on at a wedding is that you can call it the person who's giving the wedding. Usually it was the father that was to give the bride away. And so what Paul does here is he challenged us to see this from a godly perspective. He says God has chosen us to be Christ's representative on earth. In the light of this truth, Paul challenged us to live worthy of the calling we have received. So once you have received that calling, okay, yeah, Lord, I know that's you. See, I don't have to hear all that stuff other folks hear. He tell me in the word of God and it become illuminated. Good. Then what that means is you humble yourself and you make the declaration that, yes, Lord, I'm part of your army. I'm on your team. So this includes being humble now. It includes being gentle. It includes being understanding. It includes being peaceful. You know why? Because people are watching your life. They're watching you. See, a lot of people, they talk Christianity, but can you live it? Because these people are watching us.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching us. They want to see which way your light is going to shine. They want to see what you're really wearing. So Paul made it kind of, and knowing what he knew, especially when you go to the book of Matthews, and you kind of compare that with what was being said, the Bible says that there was a wedding, and he sent forth his servant to call them, and he was bidding them to come to this wedding and be part of this wedding. And he sent them forth, and the servant came back and said, they don't want to come. They don't want to come to dinner. I told them we were having oxtails. We was cooking some of the finest vittles anywhere. And get ready for the marriage. He said they didn't want to come. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to come. The Bible said they made light of it.
Yeah.
And I want to put a pin in there because a lot of people make light of their salvation. But brothers and sisters, we shouldn't make light of our salvation. People think going to church, that's all it is. Some ministers, they wait good as they're going to be called to preach and get prepared. That's making light of it. Some people make light of the calling that's on their life. Don't make light of that calling. You should go out as a representative of Christ. That's the call on your life. Why do you think he gave us all these gifts? I think it's over there in Ephesians 4. I may have a pastor to read that. Listen to your heart. The reason God gave us these gifts, trust me, the reason he gave us these gifts is for ministering, for the call that's on our life. He gave us these gifts so we can operate in his calling. That's the only reason we have the gift. Not to be brag about, oh, I'm pastor this church, I'm pastor that church. No. He gave us this stuff to unite people together. Last time I checked, over there in Ephesians, the Bible says that he had gave gifts unto man. I'm going to have Pastor read that. I think around the 4th chapter and 11th, 10th verse, somewhere around there. Maybe about the 10th, 11th verses and the 12th verses. Matter of fact, read probably from the 9th verse to at least the 14th verse.
Okay, Pastor. Reading from the King James. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that has ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen.
Amen. So there's a calling, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Before Christ went, the Bible said, before he ascended up in heaven, in order to fulfill everything, he put a call on our lives. Remember the fourth verse. He put a call on our lives. Now he's telling us how he's giving us the tools to operate.
Amen.
And he gave some apostles, some prophets. See, he ain't make no different. Man make the difference. God didn't. He put us all on the same level. And he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you give us these gifts? These are not persons. They're not persons. I know they've been taught that they're persons. They're not persons. These are gifts. We're to get, receive them and use them for what you ask. For the perfecting of the saints.
Yeah.
For the working of ministry.
Yeah.
For edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we had these gifts. Not the how many folks I got, how many is in my congregation.
All right.
No, not to brag about titles and stuff. We've been given these gifts for perfecting the saints, for working a ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And you do it until we all come into that unity of knowledge of God, unto a perfect man, or unto the perfect, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But to that perfect man, I know that the I don't know, but I feel like the King James or the American Standard, even maybe God's Word, may be able to bring that out a little bit more. But this is the call on our lives to edify the body of Christ. And when I asked Pastor Shea read that, I don't want the translation. We'll go continue on.
Okay. So from God's word it reads, that is the ninth verse. Okay. Chapter 4, and beginning with the ninth verse, it says, now what does it mean that he went up except that he also had gone down to the lower parts of the earth? The one who had gone down also went up above all the heavens, so that he fills everything. He also gave apostles, prophets, missionaries, as well as pastors and teachers as gifts to his church. Their purpose is to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ. This is to continue until all of us are united in our faith and in our knowledge about God's Son, until we become mature, until we measure up to Christ, who is the standard. Then we will no longer be little children tossed and carried about all kinds of teachings that change like the wind. We will no longer be influenced by people who use cunning and clever strategies to lead us astray. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. So, it's the same calling, brothers and sisters. We all been calling the same hope. There's no difference. There's no Jews and Gentiles and Greeks. Now we all are one. And we all been called to this oneness.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Our oneness in Christ not destroy our individual, say, spirit. But what he has given each Christian, this special gift for to build up the church, not your local building.
All right.
But a body of believers who believe the word of God above everything, like in the book of Acts. And so mighty grew the word of God. That's what God's after, people who want to get latched to the word and begin to edify one another, especially now that the days are getting shorter. And it's getting near. And somebody said nearer than we think.
All right.
But God has given us, you and I, this power to unite. There's power in uniting brothers and sisters together in Christ. I was talking about the parable, so I'm going to go back and in this wedding, the person who was giving a wedding would give everybody a garment. And this garment you would put on, it was, and then you would put it on and they would see it. They know you were part of the celebration.
Yes. All right.
It's kind of surprising how that become full circle. You know, people are going to participate in a wedding. They put on a piece of garment that says that they're part of the wedding. So it is with the wedding of Christ. You put on righteousness.
Oh,
and righteousness is God's righteousness. Not man's righteousness now, but God's righteousness. So tomorrow we're going to pick it up right there. That's what you put on. So when you read Matthew 22, know that you're going to be identified as a chosen one by righteousness. Not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. He's given us this righteousness. And we'll pick it up there because the guest, according to this scripture, the guest was to accept the clothing, whatever that was, and they would tell people, they was happy to accept it because it was part of the celebration. And that's what the writer is saying to us. We should be happy to accept God's righteousness. He's given it to us. That's part of his garment. That's part of what he wants us to wear is righteousness. And he don't care what you being. He don't care how you being. What he cares about is that you take on righteousness that Christ give us. You take on that and become part of his kingdom. Anyone have any comments or anything you'd like to share, just press 1 and just press 1.
Okay, I wanted to read I'm sorry. I wanted to read Ephesians 4, verse 11 from the New Living Translation, down to 14, verse 14, because it says, Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Amen, amen. When we come on God's righteousness, he equips us all the way around. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it would be like, God, see, here's the thing. God gave us his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the garment that we're to put on, his righteousness. He made Christ be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, it would be absurd. It would be stupid. It would be crazy to think that you're invited to the wedding to be part of, and you wouldn't put it on. It's paid for. Giving you some of the finest that's out there, and you won't accept it?
Hammer.
They didn't think like that. They knew they were special. They was chosen.
Yeah,
they was chosen, so they received God's righteousness. That's the garment. A person was coming to the wedding, and they got a lot of times kind of focused for a moment on a wedding. You know how all the bride maids, that's what they call them, Pastor?
Bride maids, huh? Yes.
And then the men, they wear tuxedos. And usually whoever giving the wedding, they furnish stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Yeah. If I'm in a wedding, I'm not going to pay for my tuxedo. You're going to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
You the matron of honor. Get this stuff. The bride pays for that stuff.
Yeah.
And all the other people realize... All the other people realize you've been chosen. Look at you. You got on the same color all the rest of them got. I want you to see that picture there to let you know you've been chosen to be part of Christ. The world looking at you because you got on this special garment. And that tells you, tell the people what side you on. That tell people you're chosen. Hey, she's part of the wedding, man. Look at her. She got on the blue and white dress like all of them. All of them, they got on blue and white dress. And look at the men. They got on tuxedos with blue vests and white shirts. Man, look at, ooh, that's beautiful. But you know the difference is they've been chosen.
Amen.
And that's how God wants us to see ourselves. We've been chosen to participate in his wedding. And this story is going to tell you that tomorrow. Because those that didn't want to come, he finally hit the streets. And he told them people in the streets, y'all want some oxtail dinner? I know people don't believe in that. But you go back and read that story. You'll see he gave oxen and all, had the dinner ready. And so the people in the street, they said, well, yeah, I like to come. You serving oxtails? I'll be there.
All right.
Pastor, I know you went back and read that, didn't you,
Pastor? You know I did.
You saw them oxtails in there, didn't you, Pastor? I know you did.
I did.
Yeah.
Did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should. And so the people was in the street. They said, okay, well, we're come. You ain't got time, Matt. Yeah, you ain't got to twist my arm, Christ. I'll be there.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, that fourth verse sure did. Mm-hmm.
And there's some people that's going to try to sneak in there. I'm going to tell you, you can't sneak in there unless you have righteousness on, unless you have one of the garments, unless you have the garment on. You might think you slick and you all of that, but you're not going to get past what God has set up unless you accept Christ. And that's the garment that we have to put on. That's why he says to put on as the elect of God. But if nothing else, hey, y'all, we'll see y'all on tomorrow. Y'all keep me lifted up in prayer. And we'll keep y'all lifted up in prayer as well. Hallelujah.